This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Podcast as well, Steve Palazzolo. They are all over it. And I think you talk about capitalism filling a niche. People eat that stuff up.
Right. And I think the explosion of the fantasy football certainly helped get them on the map. Mm-hmm. And then I think once the NFL took notice, with the help of Chris Collinsworth, who is heavily invested in this project, I think people, once they took a closer look in the true inner NFL circle, I think they realized how much time and effort is put in to the metrics that they develop and produce. And there's a place for this for NFL analytics departments to make use of and streamline the process. These guys are doing a lot of that grunt work, which is why I kind of made the joke, like, with all the viewing that these guys are doing between game film and then their number crunching and staring at their laptop and plugging in figures. I mean, half of these guys have got to be blind without corrective lenses on. I mean, there's just no way that you're spending all these hours in front of the computer or in front of a television screen and not coming out with blurred vision. There's just no way.
That's right. So I was Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus senior analyst, and there's a lot of interesting stuff, and you're right, there's a lot of people who are really into it, and the fact that they evaluate these positions that we kind of talk about. Yeah. We've been talking about the running backs all day today, and we've taken a lot from the tweet sheet. People have been giving us feedback about what they think the future of that spot is. There's one guy, Edric from New Jersey, has been hanging on for maybe a half an hour. Edric, thanks so much for being patient. You're on One Bills Live with Steve Tasker and Chris Brown. What's on your mind?
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. You always do a great job when you fill in for one of these guys are on vacation every other week.
It's thank you for that.
It's our go-to. Go ahead, Edric. What's on your mind? You think something about the lead dog and a running back?
Yeah, I think that you're always going to need a lead dog, you know, in this league. The league kind of went away from it for a while, but I think the NFL is they move forward and they to the old school thing. And what I mean by that is I think a guy like, how can I put it? You know, we have Matt Milano out there and let's say Ed Oliver. 10 years ago, there was no place for guys like this, you know? And that's because in the last few years, when the league has moved away from that run it down your throat, you know, the big running back, that lead dog, you know?
Right.
And guys like that have been able to come about the league. And guys like Brandon Spice have been kind of taken out of the league.
Yeah,
A guy like Bart Scott might not have a place in this league anymore.
Well, here's the thing, and here's what I'd ask you, Edric, if you can hang on for a minute. Let me ask you this. How many big-time running backs are there like that? There's only, five in the league right now? You got Gurley, Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott, Adrian Peterson.
Fournette was the fourth pick in the draft, but I wouldn't put him in that category.
So a lot of these other teams, and none of those guys won the Super Bowl last year. So somebody is doing it a different way.
Yeah.
So what do you think? I mean, Edric, how if you've got one of those guys, that's great, but you got to think you can win it without one.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. New England won that Super Bowl, and guess what? Sony Michel, if I'm not mistaken, was a first-round pick.
You know? Second-round pick.
Second-round.
Second-round pick. I mean, you know, you can say what you want about, we got James White, we got Rex Burkhead. But at the end of the day, they got a guy who was taken pretty high in that draft.
Yeah,
you
know? and when they beat the Bills, they ran it 42 times in New England last year.
Exactly. Yeah. And they've been doing that for 3 years now, guys. They've been down our throats for the last 3 years.
I'm with you.
I don't know if they run it down the throat every time, because James White also caught, 85 balls last year? I mean, they do it different ways with their backs, and that's what makes them so special, because they can diversify, they can morph and change into whatever they need in a given week. And I think that's why Brian Daboll for the Bills is trying to do a similar thing. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that.
Edric, thanks for the call from New Jersey. Appreciate you chiming in. That's a good take on the running backs and the future of the franchise running back in the National Football League. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We've got What Did We Learn? We've also got NFL True and False coming up right after this. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Chris Brown. We're talking about the future of the feature back in the National Football League. We've been taking a lot of feedback from. We're going to take a call in a minute from Wayne and Cheektowaga, but from the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Movers, official movers of the Buffalo Bills, we've got this from Swice is Nice. It'll always be a part of the game. If a guy is good enough, he will be featured. The thing that changes is just how much and for how long he will be featured throughout a season and a career. Having at least two running backs to feature is the new norm if you want to make a deep run. That's from Swice is Nice. Also from Brian on the tweet sheet, he says, smart GMs will always look at the cost-to-benefit ratio. Running back has additional inherent injury risk and is easily replaceable with a committee approach. There will always be a spot for a stud running back in the league, but it's far more responsible to go for depth and value at running back. That's a great take from Brian on the tweet sheet. Good stuff there. You got anything to add to those? That was a pretty good tweet right there.
You know, I was just thinking to myself during the break, like, how many teams are successful with that committee approach? You know, people were talking about the Patriots before we went to break in the last segment. You know, you think about all the running backs that the Green Bay Packers have cycled through while Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers have been quarterback. There's a lot of guys. I mean, you could argue that some of them have been quote-unquote feature guys. You know, you had Amon Green for a couple of years, you know, and the big kid from Alabama that they had, Lacy.
Yeah. Deion Lacy?
No. Deion Lacy's the linebacker here.
I have no idea.
I'm the big kid that had a weight problem. And he played at Alabama. He came there. He was their feature back. Big hammer guy. And they used James Starks as his
That's a line.
You guys, we'll both it. People are saying Deion Lacy. Jay in my ear and you over here. It's not Deion Lacy. He's a linebacker for the Bills,
the
special teams guy.
Deion
Lacy.
He's a
Eddie Lacy? Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's chiming in the back now.
I'm the one that got it first. Right. My God.
Thanks for the help.
But, you know, so you had him for a couple of years, but then they cycle through. You know what I'm saying?
But here's the thing. You get one of these guys like
– I mean, they got what's the kid now? Aaron Green was the guy that was running for them.
Aaron Rodgers. Some of these other guys. John Elway. They'd never have these big feature backs because they don't want to turn around and hand it off.
Yeah.
Those guys said, no, I'm throwing
They had
throwing
Bobby
it.
Humphrey, Sammy Winder
They're
in Denver.
They're just telling you to back it off. Say, forget it. I'm going to throw this ball, and if the guy can catch, I'll throw it to him, but I ain't handing it to him because that's not how we win games. That's what some of these quarterbacks are like. I mean, they don't do that. You get these unselfish guys, and all of a sudden they start with Jim Kelly. We were a 50-50 run pass team with Jim Kelly, a Hall of Fame quarterback, because he'd turn around and hand it off. You got a guy like Joe Montana. He'd hand it off to Roger Craig. He'd have no problem doing that.
Right.
Troy
Aikman, Emmitt Smith.
They'd hand it off. The great ones hand it off because they're not selfish and they're team-oriented. That's my philosophy. I know fans don't always agree with that, and they'll give me, you know, say, hey, you never won one. But, hey, Jim was a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he was a pretty unselfish dude. We got a call from Cheektowaga. Wayne in Cheektowaga, you're on with Steve and Chris. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. My question is, if you got a really, truly great running back, why wouldn't you pay him? If he could turn a touchdown in from anywhere on the field, I mean, that's worth it to me.
I got you, Wayne. Let me ask you this, though. What if you thought or suspected that even though the guy has been the best running back in the league for four straight years and that he's been working on his rookie contract, you have reason to believe, maybe because of his off-field issues or because of what he said in the press or because of his social media account or because of his teammates and the coaches and the guys that live with him every day, what if they think this guy will take it out of gear as soon as he gets a big check? Do you still pay him?
Yeah, you sign him to a short-term contract, make him earn it every year.
What if he says no?
Well, then you're screwed, I guess. But
yeah.
The other question I had for you, why is your set constantly rotating?
We have a camera that the camera moves to give the set depth. That's a look at him. That's
very observant,
Wayne. Thank you for noticing that.
We're not moving.
That.
I assure you,
we're not moving. The set
the
doesn't rotate.
Is.
The camera slowly revolves.
Well, we're
to
all
give
moving. We're
angles.
On a rotating planet. Technically, we're all moving.
Yeah, let's not. Well, That's science.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We're not good at that.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, Wayne. That's it. Now, let's all right, Brian, you ready for NFL True False?
Yeah, let's get it going.
NFL True False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. NFL True False. Number, and I got to be honest with you. Sometimes you come in here and I want to get these at a fresh look. So I, you know, sometimes
oh,
I
you go on going unprepared. You go in blind.
No, I don't like not unprepared because I blind draw. I did read them, but if I don't have an opinion, I have to read all the stuff already to formulate my opinion.
I got you,
if
I
already
you.
Got an opinion,
you want an off the cuff opinion.
I can fly in and just say I know what's going on. All right, here we go. NFL True False number one. Andy Reid is a Hall of Famer even without a Super Bowl championship.
True absolutely. Or
false? Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
He is. Listen, my coach was a first ballot Hall of Famer, even without a championship. Andy Reid.
Bud Grant's in the Hall of Fame.
Let me give you an idea. Let me give you a reason why Andy Reid is different. He started his head coaching career in Philadelphia. When he took over in Philadelphia, they didn't have a quarterback, and they were an absolute, positive, no-holds-barred laughingstock of a franchise. They were horrible in every respect from top to bottom. Under him, they not only got to a Super Bowl, they got to four
NFC title games.
Now, they struggled in the title games, no question about it. But because of Andy Reid, the Philadelphia Eagles became anything but a laughingstock, and it's due to his coaching. And now, of course, what he's doing in Kansas City speaks for itself.
Well, and he was a quarterback savior, too. I mean, he saved Michael Vick's career, quite literally, out of prison.
Right.
He saved Alex Smith's career, which was going nowhere fast in San Francisco. He gets him to Kansas City and turns him into a Pro Bowl quarterback. He only made one Pro Bowl, but you know what I'm saying.
He's
he turned him into a productive playoff quarterback. You know, and now he's probably got the best quarterback he's ever had in Pat Mahomes. He is a dynamic offensive mind. There is no question about it. He is 100% a Hall of Fame guy. And to a certain extent, look at the legacy he's going to leave with all of his former assistants who are now head coaches, not the least of which is Sean McDermott.
And I think that says something about him. I like Andy Reid. I've met him and been in production meetings with him a number of times. He's a great dude.
Big Red.
His players love him. He's been a great coach for a long time. Absolutely, he's a Hall of Famer. NFL True False number two, the Rams have the best offensive arsenal in the National Football League.
Mm.
I will say, just for the sake of argument, I'll say true, mostly because of their offensive arsenal includes their head coach. It includes their quarterback, who was resurrected from being a bust, now is a really good one. And if Todd Gurley, being healthy as he is at this point, changes everything for them, and they're getting Cooper Kupp back on the field. So I would say that team that was scoring 50 points and 48 points and doing all this stuff last year that got them to the Super Bowl, I would say yes, they will continue to be the best offensive arsenal in the National Football
League. When we're talking arsenal, just so I'm clear on this, we're including the quarterback, or are we just talking about all the weapons that the quarterback has?
I'm not only including the quarterback, I'm including the play caller.
Okay. I may go Eagles there.
Because
DeSean Jackson's there now. You know, he's back in Philly. I think DeSean Jackson's going to blow up again in Philadelphia. I think that's the perfect landing spot for him. I like Cooper Kupp a lot. I love Robert Woods, always have. I'm just not totally enamored with Goff. I just think when you face a tough defense, and we saw that in the Super Bowl, what happened to him?
Yep,
I'm going Philly. I like Carson Wentz better, and then I think the weapons are relatively comparable. You know, Zach Ertz, I like better at tight end than who they have. So I'm going to say false and go with Philly.
All right. That's an interesting take. I said true. You said false. NFL true false number three, the Houston Texans, they don't need a GM. In 2019.
Yeah,
now, if you haven't heard, the Texans don't have a GM. They fired him, and they have not replaced him and have decided they are not going to replace him. This is after the debacle with the guy they were going to try and hire away from the New England Patriots. That all
Nick
fell
Casario.
Through. Now there's animosity between the two organizations. It was a big hullabaloo about how it was handled behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So now the Texans have decided, okay, we're not going to have a GM. We're going to distribute those responsibilities between top executives in the building. They don't need a GM in 2019. True or false?
That is false with a capital F. You need a primary decision maker at the top of your personnel food chain. You can't divvy that stuff up. It doesn't work. It's got to be a defined hierarchy. And what this says to me is that Bill O'Brien's running the show there. And that's why they didn't put a GM in place. And for Bill O'Brien, he's probably very happy about that because I think he knows he's in a make-or-break season as the head coach there in Houston.
Do you think he's make-or-break?
I do. They don't make the playoffs and win a playoff game, I think he's done. I think he's done. There's too much talent there. There's too much talent there. You got a top five wide receiver in the league. You've got one of the best young quarterbacks in football. You've got a lights-out defense with multiple first-round picks. You got to make it happen, man.
I don't know.
You got to make it happen. I think he's done. If it doesn't happen this year, the McNairs bounce him out on his ear. And I'm going to say this. I don't know all the circumstances that went into the dismissal of Brian Gain, but Brian Gain used to be here. You know, Brandon Bean took him out of Houston to be part of his front office staff. And I'm not going to claim to be the close personal friends with Brian Gain, but I think he is an accomplished personnel man. And to see the way they did him because they thought they tried to pull an end around an upgrade and went the tampering route almost to do so and almost got a major, major penalty because of it.
It was a kerfuffle.
Karma. Yeah. Karma's a you-know-what. So there you go. And, you know, I hope Brian Gain lands on his feet somewhere.
Yeah, this thing about what this season means for Bill O'Brien may be a side issue, a different issue. But the Texans don't need a GM in 2019. I think now in 2019, I think it's a dangerous pass to go. But moving forward, when they get into it, the offseason's kind of virtually done now. I think they can kind of get through a season.
Get through the season.
It may take some luck for them to do it. But not an amazing amount of
luck. And I'm assuming they have a college scouting director, so they run the whole scouting operation
fine. But at some point, yes, they're going to. But to get through this regular season, I think they're okay now to get through the next 5 months, get into December, January, February, if need be. You know, I think they can do that.
It's not ideal.
But they're going to need to get one sooner
or later. Are you true or false there?
I am true. They don't need a GM this season. All right. The NFL True False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. This is One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. We're going to be back with What Did We Learn?
Your favorite part of the show, Steve.
Buffalo Bills Radio. What Did We Learn? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater and the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Pro Football Focus senior analyst Steve Palazzolo on, and he talked about our good friend Lorenzo Alexander. We asked him what kind of linebacker Lorenzo Alexander was and why he had such a good year this deep into his career. Here's what he had to say about Lorenzo Alexander in the year he had in 2018.
So you look at Alexander last year rushed the passer 239 times and had 38 total pressures. You know, we grade each one of those rushes individually. Did you win? How quickly did you win? And he did a fantastic job rushing the passer. He was solid. And when he did drop into coverage, he had 133 snaps there. He was good there as well. Even if it is, you know, around the line of scrimmage type of responsibility, he's playing curl flat and he needs to just keep the ball in front of him. He did a good job of that, limited big plays when he was in coverage, also picked up those two interceptions and three other pass breakups. So it's tough because our grade doesn't necessarily say this is what the player is. It says this is what the player did. And then, again, what we found mathematically is what a player did usually points you in the right direction of what they will do. It's just a matter of figuring out the right component. So Lorenzo Alexander, one of the more fascinating players in the NFL, because you don't see a whole lot of players that are true linebackers rush the passer, and you don't see a whole bunch of guys that can rush the passer playing coverage as efficiently as he did this past season.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus senior analyst, talking about Lorenzo Alexander. Lorenzo is going to come on the show tomorrow, Brownie. He'll come on and
are we going to play his intro music and everything?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a good show today, man. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Hey, and we had what is the future of the feature NFL running
back. Where did the poll finish?
The poll finished at this. 39% of the respondents said, hey, it's always going to be a part of the game. 26% both said it was good to have but not worth a second contract and too easily replaceable. Those are two different ones. They tied, and only 9% of the people said no longer a must-have. So there you go. We're going to be back tomorrow. We'd like to thank George Bloss, Jeff Koltenak, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, producer Jay Harris. Brownie, thanks for being here.
You got it, man.
This has been One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, presented by Kaleida Health. This has been Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.